Now, last Friday, we had on J.R. Stewart talking about his one-man show, The Gospel According to Mark, that's Mark Twain, for Springfield Contemporary Theater's now annual, we hope it continues to be annual, Solo Play Festival at SCT Center Stage in Will Hoyt Plaza. And J.R. is running his show along with two others, basically in repertory. J.R. had the entire weekend to himself last week, but now he is directing David Rice in Zero Hour, the one-man show by Jim Brochu, who has created a great tribute to the theater legend Zero Mostel.
A true tribute, yes.
Do you feel like this is a kind of a role you were born to play?
You know, strangely, I think I really have. I've been a huge fan of Mostel since, well, I was a kid.
We all saw him in, you know, The Producers and things like that.
And, yes, a funny thing happened on the way to the Forum.
Absolutely.
The film version. And I've been, as I say, a big fan of his since I was a kid. He died, I think, when I was 12 years old, but I was you know, shocked when it happened. He was very young at the time, comparatively.
Sure.
And I've wanted to get to know more of Mostel since then. I had the good luck many years ago. I did a day player bit on a film called 8 Men Out by John Sayles. And they brought me in, they stuck me in the trailer and said, here, put on a costume. And the costume they gave me was one of Mostel's suits from The Producers. So I had the joy of actually wearing one of Mostel's.
Oh, good
suits,
heavens! Seriously,
back when I did that film.
Oh.
So I have that one-on-one, well, one to costume kind of connection of the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yes, the 6 degrees of Zero Mostel.
Yes,
in this case,
that's what it is.
Now, tell me about Brochu's show here. He's constructed it as some poor reporter trying to conduct an interview with the irascible, feisty Zero Mostel in his art studio on West 28th Street.
Someone who would not be envied at all trying to get an interview out of Mostel. It is written that way. Brochu was an acquaintance of Zero Mostel. As a matter of fact, they met originally when he'd gone backstage to meet his friend Davy Burns during a funny thing happened on the way to the Forum on Broadway. And he tells the story that he ran into Mostel in the hallway. He'd been berating some actor for doing some dreadful thing. And Mostel was giving him the riot act. And Brochu walked up and he saw this happen. And then the other actor walked sheepishly away. And Mostel turned to Brochu and said, "What do you want?" And he said, I'm here to see Davy Burns."
Yes.
And Brochu said, Mostel turned to him and he said, "You never come to see me." And he went into his dressing room and slammed the door. So the next time...
But I hardly know you.
So the next time he went back to see the same show a few weeks later, and this time he went to Mostel's door and knocked on it, and Mostel said, "What do you want?" He said, "Well, you say I never come to see you."
Right.
So here I am. And so they struck up this friendship. So he is speaking in the play from his great depth of knowledge of having met the man, been a friend of his for many years. And it is a great tribute to Mostel. It is... I hate to say a love letter because it shows all of his warts and all of his foibles and all of his idiosyncrasies, but it is a wonderful portrait of the man and really, really shouldn't be missed.
This is the man who originated the role of Pseudolus in Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. He originated the role of Tevye on Broadway in Fiddler on the Roof, both of those in the early and mid-1960s. But... 10 years before that, he was basically a persona non grata in the entertainment world.
He was blacklisted back in the 50s after his testimony before HUAC, the House on American Activities Committee.
Where he basically told them what they could do with themselves.
Very much so. He went out of his way to ensure that he was not naming names. As a matter of fact, when they brought him before the committee, they'd confirmed with his attorney that he wouldn't be asked to name names, which was a relief, which is why he decided he was going to go and not continue trying to postpone it. And so they heard his testimony. They did not cite him for contempt of Congress. They did not throw him in prison like many of the others
yes.
that were thrown in prison for contempt for not naming names. But he was blacklisted. He did not work in film or television for 10 years. He worked nightclub acts. He did his small little nightclub acts when he could get the work. He still had
a few friends who would hire him.
Yes. Several of the people who had been blacklisted got together and made their own second chance. And they renovated a theater on the Lower East Side and put on Ulysses in Nighttown. It won an Obie. I don't remember what it was, but it played very well. And that time period, he was also spending much of his time in his studio because he grew up, he was trained as an artist. He studied art at CCNY, and he spent most of that time painting. He was an abstract painter, an impressionist, and he has some wonderful work that's out there, and that's how he spent the bulk of his time. He couldn't maybe sell that work because nobody wanted the work of a blacklisted.
Of a commie, yeah.
Commie,
supposedly,
you're right.
Yes.
And but he did spend over 2 years just painting in his studio.
And in fact, this play takes place in his painting studio.
In his art studio on 28th Street, in the little microcosm of Mostel's life, the place where he says he keeps his friends, his paints, his canvases, his brushes.
Did Mostel have many friends outside of his own world there like that?
I don't know that he did. One of his great friends was Jack Gilford, a frequent co-star who was in Forum with him, both the stage version and the film version.
Yes.
The two of them and their wives, Catherine Harkin and Madeline Lee Gilford.
Yes.
They wrote a book together, 170 years in show business, their combined term of the time they'd been in the business since then. So they were close friends, but I don't think he had a lot of close friends outside of that, no.
What you get in this show, Zero Hour, is a great deal of Zero Mostel's feisty, volatile personality. Could be a bit nasty at times to people.
Bracing, yes.
Abrasive.
Abrasive.
But you also get, obviously, going through being blacklisted as he was, he carried through the rest of his life a certain amount of outrage about that.
There was outrage about that. There was outrage in Mostel before he was blacklisted based on his religion. He had married outside the faith when he married Catherine Harkin,
needless to say, Mostel was Jewish.
Catholic rockette from Philadelphia,
yes.
And he was a Jewish painter from New York, and
right.
His family disowned him. They considered him dead. They covered the mirrors. They sat Shiva for a week, and they just would not speak with him, would not acknowledge his wife. So he had a lot of anger at his past, even before the blacklist. So certainly the blacklist didn't help. But he was a huge personality. He was bigger than life. And when you have bigger than life personalities, I think you have bigger than life emotions. And certainly anger is one of those. But so is...
a bigger than life humor.
Yes, humor is... He was similar to the way... to put it in modern modern perspective, if you can consider... Robin Williams and the way he was always on. He was always thinking, he was always doing, he was always moving. Zero Mostel was Robin Williams writ large. And if you think Robin Williams was a big personality, it was nothing by comparison to Zero Mostel.
You also get some juicy backstage gossip. And
there is some backstage
history, lore, yes.
Wonderful stuff in the play that you learn. About not only his early life and his time as a painter, but some of the wonderful things that his relationship, his love-hate relationship, as he refers to it, with Jerry Robbins. Jerome Robbins was one of those other people that did appear before the committee and did name names.
And he suffered for it.
He suffered for it, and Mostel hated everything about the man except... They kept getting pushed together professionally when he appeared first in A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. Hal Prince and the director, George Abbott, came to his dressing room because the play was bombing. And they came to his dressing room and said, the show needs to be fixed, and we know the man who can fix it. We want to bring in Jerry Robbins. And that was a huge blow to Mostel. But of course, from his standpoint, he says, of course I'll work with him. We on the left do not blacklist. And it turns out that they could work together because, as they say in the play, they put their creation above their individual differences. They said there's blood on the floor, but the forum was a smash. And they worked together there. They worked together in Fiddler on the Roof. Jerry Robbins directed that first production of Fiddler on the Roof. And in the end, Mostel recognized that Robbins was no saint, but he recognized and touted the sheer genius that Jerry Robbins brought to his craft.
Well, the same thing could be said of Zero Mostel.
Absolutely.
Certainly no saint, but no. Definitely a genius.
That much is certain.
And Zero Hour, you will be performing. Do we even, we don't even, this being a one-person show, of course, we don't see the reporter that he's berating or that he's
He sits
raking over the coals.
He just sits there in the unseen observer that... he does indeed get berated a tad, but it's a wonderful play, and it tells some wonderful things about Mostel and about that time period that really, when you look at what's happening today politically, a lot of what he went through and a lot of what he fought for is still very, very relevant today.
Now, J.R. Stewart is directing this.
Yes.
And we did talk about this last week. He made the exact same point that it's very relevant to what we're seeing in American life today. And he also made the point that telling the story of Zero Mostel really is almost telling the story of America and its aspirations and its foibles.
I would agree with that entirely. We were talking today about Fiddler on the Roof. Was shaped in great part by Zero Mostel. When he started with that show, it was just originally called Tevian. It was just a play about that one man and his family. And they originally wanted it to be very un-Jewish. They wanted to homogenize it. He called it Pastel Talis and no tzitzis and no beards on the men. And he said, no,
seriously?
Can't do that. It has to be about the Jewish community so that they know who we are and they can love who we are, so that they can hate what is happening to us. And people today understand a little bit about Jewish culture because of the relevance of Fiddler on the Roof. And that was directly due to Zero Mostel, wanting to make sure that people could relate to it, that it meant something to them. So it really is very relevant today. It's relevant to any audience, any age, and just very funny and very touching. I haven't had more fun doing a show in years. Scary, difficult to do. I've never done a one-man show before, and I think I probably understand why now. But I wouldn't trade this opportunity in the world because it's just marvelous. It's just really been great fun.
Zero Hour by Jim Brochu, a study of Zero Mostel, and it stars David Rice. It's directed by J.R. Stewart. It's part of Springfield Contemporary Theater's Solo Play Festival. It opens tonight at SCT Center Stage in Wilhoit Plaza. The entire run of the Solo Play Festival then continues through December the 11th, and the three of you, JR and yourself and Nathan Shelton, will be, of course, doing the Santaland Diaries by David Sedaris, and so you'll all three do a total of 5 performances during this period.
That's right. JR opened last weekend. This weekend we'll be splitting performances, and then next weekend Nathan and I will split performances.
Right.
He'll open that next weekend, and then he'll do the final weekend by himself. I'm really looking forward to that. Nathan is one of my favorite performers, and it's such a great story. I'm really looking forward to that.
Performances are Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30 p.m., Sunday evenings at 7, with matinees on Saturdays and Sundays at 2, again through December 11th at SCT Center Stage in Wilhoit Plaza.
Lots of opportunities.
Lots of opportunities to see the Solo Play Festival, dealing with 3 great American humorists at SCT Center Stage. For tickets, call Springfield Contemporary Theater's box office at 831-8001 or visit springfieldcontemporarytheater.org. All right, David, thanks for being here.
Thank you
so
much for having me.